Really quickly, before we start this episode, I want to let you know that there's a resource to go along with it, and I give you a lot of tools to do some reflecting yourself. So I want you to head to DesireeEndries.com/social. That is DesireeEndries.com/social. You can get that worksheet, and hopefully that will help you apply what we're talking about here. Welcome to Minimalish, a podcast about minimalism, sort of. I'm your host, Desiree, and I strongly believe that minimalism isn't meant to be an identity, a standard to live up to, a set of rules, or anything along those lines, but rather just a tool to help us make room for the things that matter in our lives. And it looks different for everyone. Each week, you'll find me here having conversations about living with less, realistically, and the things that matter, like motherhood and family, intentional living, mindset, loving our people, and everything in between. More than anything, it's my goal to remind you, and often myself too, that you're worthy of creating a life filled up with what matters to you, and that you're already enough just as you are. I'm so glad you're here, friend. Here's today's episode. Hi, friend. Welcome back to Minimalish. I'm your host, Desiree, and today I am talking with you solo, and I'm talking to you on the topic of social media. I know that this is a topic that a lot of us struggle with. I'm not sure if it's one that we would like to rather avoid, because I know in the past I'd rather have avoided this topic, but I know that some people don't really find themselves having an issue with technology as much as others, but I know that a lot of us do. It's a big part of our world and our lives, and I want to approach this because it's been something that I have been basically working through probably since the start of this year. I haven't wanted to talk about it yet because I haven't really fully cleared my thoughts on it all, and I still haven't, but I am ready to talk about it. I feel like I have worked through a lot, and I'm ready to discuss this with you. So before we jump in, speaking of social media, Instagram is a huge place where new people discover Minimalish. So if you're loving it and you hang out on Instagram at all, I'd be so grateful if you screenshot and share that you're listening in today. You could share it in any way. If you just want to text it to a friend or share it somewhere else, I am grateful for you in every place that you share. And I also want to share a review today because I haven't done this in a while, and I love giving your encouragements and encouraging words space on the show. I just want you to know that I read literally every single one of these reviews, so I'm gonna read one today. So Hulu Pip says, "This podcast is my new all-time favorite, and I am beyond grateful that I trusted my gut and gave it a listen. At first glance, I thought it would be a boring podcast because I just couldn't understand how many episodes one can make talking about minimalism, but I was pleasantly surprised when I found that it was on so much more than just minimalism, which makes total sense why the ish is in the title. I find Desiree so relatable and raw and real. She's a creative genius, the way she relates minimalism to motherhood and living in general. I love all of her interviews and will definitely re-listen to all of her episodes. Also, I will totally have a fangirl moment if I hear her reading this on her podcast," which you might know why I had to read that review, but this is so kind, and I am just so grateful for all of these kind words. And when I get words like that spoken about me and spoken about the podcast, all I can do is just be thankful and pray that more people hear words like that in their everyday lives, because we don't often think super positive thoughts about ourselves all day. So if you have something positive to say to someone, your neighbor or your best friend or someone that you work with, you should say it. You never know what those encouraging words are going to do for that person and how those words are going to lift up that person. And these words came to me in a time when I was super in need of them. I read them last month when I was experiencing some really negative things. So I'm super thankful for that. Okay, so let's get to this topic of using social media, screen time, our phones, whatever, in general. We are talking about how do we use this intentionally, and I am going to focus on social media because I know that I've had a lot of women reach out to me and say that social media sucks up so much of their time, or they feel addicted to their phones, not sure how to approach social media, or what's the right way, or what's the wrong way. I feel like it's confusing. It's this confusing world. It's this brave new world that we are trying to figure out. How do we use this intentionally? And I know social media is not that new, but I just feel like it's more prevalent than ever. And it's seeping into our everyday lives more than ever. I also want to say that my goal here is never to make you feel guilty. I just want to share a discussion and ideas around the topic at hand. And if social media is going to be such a huge part of our lives, I just want to discuss how we can be intentional. But please leave the guilt at the door if you feel guilty about being on your phone around your kids or whatever else. Like, leave the guilt at the door. It's not about feeling guilty. It's about trying to figure out what is going to make me feel good about the way that I approach this. What is going to make me feel fulfilled in the way I approach this or intentional? It's not about guilt. Social media is a place to connect. We use our phones to connect. If we're not talking social media, maybe we're just talking about, maybe you find yourself text messaging family and friends a lot. Our phone is a place where we find ourselves connecting. It's also a place where many of us work. Whether you work on social media literally, or social media is a vehicle that you use to promote your own business, or you check your email on your phone because you had to get a work email late at night, it's a place where many people work. But a lot of people also are on social media or just on our phones to connect with one another, to connect with content creators or local businesses or each other, like our friends. We want to see what our friends and family are doing. And a lot of us find entertainment on there. And it can provide really good things. Like, you can connect with family that lives far away from you, and you can be entertained in a way that really connects with you, or you can find like-minded people moving towards the same goals. It's not bad. There's just a host of reasons why social media has been good in my life and why I think it's good in a lot of people's lives. So because of the good parts of social media, and because I have used social media to work for over 3 years now, because even before the podcast, I was a social media manager for 2 different businesses. So this has been 3 years of working on Instagram. And I used to want to avoid this topic of social media and intentionally using it because I just wanted to use that excuse that I work on social media and I need to use it for work. But here's the thing. It can become an addiction. I personally know that I was picking up my phone way too much. I was scrolling through it for way too long, and it was not just about work. We live in a world that is more connected than ever online, but possibly more disconnected than ever to the people right in front of us. I do not want that reality to make you feel guilty. I just want it to make you think. What do you want this to look like in your life? I think balance is possible here. And I personally have gone through months of just figuring out what it looks like to remind myself that though I am creating things online to encourage beautiful, wonderful people that I feel called to, my first calling is with the people right in front of me. And that's a personal statement. So in this episode, my goal from here on is to help you do that same kind of reflection. Because this is what has taken me months to craft the way I use social media to align with that value. So I want to help you reflect, and I want to help you get to that same place to where you can say, okay, this is what I use social media for, and this is how it's going to fit. I also wanted to just quickly say that a simple process that I go through when I am trying to decide how something needs to look in my life, something that's not currently going the way that I'd like it to, like how social media was for me. Simple steps for me are just prayer. I then kind of seek counsel in some way. And whether that is talking to a friend about it, talking to a mentor, or trying to find podcasts on the topic from people that I feel like I align with. The next and very equally important step for me is to really reflect and journal through it, because I believe that a lot of times we can find answers simply through doing that. If we seek too much counsel, if we seek too many opinions, too much noise, sometimes it's hard to find the answer that is truly ours. So I just wanted to put that out there because that's what process I hope to take you through. I mean, I'm not taking you through prayer or counsel, but I am hoping to help you reflect with this episode. So I really wanted to give you that quick process. It does start with prayer, and I want to put that out there. Even though you might not share the same faith as me, whatever your version of prayer is a good starting point. I want to take a break to thank one of today's sponsors, Family Album. So I discovered Family Album around the time we celebrated my daughter's second birthday, and I took about a million pictures that day. I take a lot of pictures of her every day, and I just love this way to store and share these pictures with my family. Family Album is a free app that helps you save, share, and remember the special moments in your child's life, and it makes sharing your child's photos and videos a fun experience. It creates these video and photo collages to make looking back even more special for you and your family. It allows you unlimited storage, so you can upload as many photos as you want. And once you invite your family members, the great thing is it will just notify them every time you upload new photos. So you don't have to text them and say, hey, check the family album. It just notifies them right away. My mom loves it every time it notifies her that there's a new photo in there. She's always texting me, oh, so cute. And I love sharing that with her and being able to share these photos so easily with her. Another great thing Family Album does is it automatically organizes your photos by date and month. I personally love that I can just swipe from month to month and relive all of my memories with my daughter. What I love most about the app is the 1 second movie feature. I honestly teared up a little bit when I first saw that there was a video that was created from the photos and videos that I had uploaded. I know you'll love Family Album as much as I do, so to download Family Album, it's a completely free app, go to Google Play or the Apple App Store and search for Family Album, all one word. That's Family Album, all one word. All right, let's get back to the show. I think balance is possible in the social media and real life world. I think it's possible. The word balance can be kind of elusive and a myth. I think we need to define it for ourselves, of course. It's going to look different for all of us. So here's some things to consider. The first one is, what are you missing? Again, not a guilt question. It's a joy question. What things do you enjoy in your everyday life? What brings you laughter and happiness and fulfillment? Are you missing out on those things because of social media? I ask this because I personally found that I was. I felt I had to be ever present on social media, and I found myself anxiously checking my phone all the time, and I realized that not only was I missing out on small everyday moments that brought me joy, like with my daughter, or just with my family in general, or just by myself, without social media on all the time, I was watching others' moments, and I was suffering from comparison instead of living in my everyday life. I was just like finding myself in comparison and finding myself discontent. The second question is, why are you on social media? So what does your purpose look like there? And it's not a question of should you be on social media, but just why are you there? So is it for entertainment? Is it to take a break when you hop on your phone? Is it for work? Is it to connect with others? Is your time on social media fulfilling the purpose for which you go on there? Are you actually working when you're on there if your purpose on social media is to work? Is it entertaining you? If it's for entertainment, is it entertaining you and giving you the break that you were looking for when you hopped on to Instagram or Facebook or wherever? I say Instagram a lot because that's the social media platform I'm on the most. So that kind of leads to this next question, and this is the last question. What do you feel like during or after surfing social media? So I kind of talked about how I would feel that comparison issue. Sometimes I feel great when I'm on social media, like I've connected with like-minded people, or I've caught up with in real life friends a little bit that I might not have seen in a while. Other times I feel like I come off of social media downright anxious. I feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I'm not being enough. I feel like I'm not a good enough mom. And that was happening more often than not when I found myself on social media too often. So these questions, these three questions, are just here to help you reflect on how is social media serving you, what are you doing on there, and why, and what does it feel like when you come off of it or when you're on it. But what do we do next? So I've provided some steps that I think might help and that have worked for me to kind of just decide on what are my values in my everyday life and how am I gonna align social media to those things. So the first step is to do a screen time audit. I started having my phone tell me what my screen time was each day, and that was eye-opening. So what is your screen time amount? You can find this information if you have an iPhone, it's just in settings. But on an Android, I don't honestly know how to tell you how to get there, but I'm just gonna guess it's in settings. I tried to do a quick Google, it didn't produce much results for me, so I hope that you're able to find your screen time. And if not, there are apps for it. Just search it. You will find it. You will find a way to audit your screen time. So figure this out. When are you spending the most time on social media? If this is something that you want to reevaluate in your life, this is just a good first step of how much are you using your phone? And it's not just social media, it's your phone in general. So the next question that kind of goes along with that is, does it matter? Does it matter that you had 7 hours of screen time today? There's an article on Forbes that was published this year that talks about the time spent in front of screens in general. So this is not just our phones. There is an average for adults as much of 12 hours a day in front of TVs and computers and phone screens in general. And I'll link this article because I think it's pretty interesting about what this does to our brain. So I just want to put that out there that I think it does matter to audit our screen time and figure out, okay, how much time am I spending in front of my phone? How much time am I spending in front of screens in general? Because it does affect our brains, and I'm not going to go into the science of that. I'm going to leave that article there for you. Plus, there's tons of others. All it takes is a little Google search, but I feel way better when I take some time away from a screen. So that's just something to keep in mind in general. It matters. Now, the second step is, what is that screen time going to? Because when it comes down to it, my phone, at least the iPhone, measures when I go, you can go into that screen time little application and it will show you what all that screen time goes to. Now, when I was listening to audiobooks more and when I listen to a lot of podcasts, my screen time will be skyrocketed, but I was not actually looking at that screen. It doesn't really maybe contribute to what we're talking about here. But also at the same time, that's a lot of noise going into our lives, and sometimes we just need a break from all of it. Yes, even podcasts, which I love podcasts, obviously. I want you to listen to mine, but I also want you to take breaks from the noise, because that's when our creativity can flourish. That's when we can like meditate or pray or just really think. Okay, I went into that a little bit more than I wanted to, so let's refocus here. This is really part of that screen time audit, but basically, what purposes are that screen time going into? And step three is to just really think of what ideally would time spent on your phone, on social media, or whatever you're doing on there, what would that look like if you were to live a present day? So this is going to take some thinking. What role do you want social media and screen time to play in your life? Do you actually enjoy it? Do you wish you were never on it? Do you think it's like not playing a good role in your life and you'd rather be off of it? Some people take that route. Do you feel like social media is a great thing in your life, but you'd like to only be on it for a certain amount of time in your day? And maybe a present day for you looks like staying off of it while you're at work or while you're with your kids or whatever. So my goal is personally, after I've reflected on this, and I want to tell you this because I feel like it might help to hear another person's goal, but I want you to come up with this on your own. I want you to really think through this. There's no wrong answer here. It's so individual, and it depends on what you do in your everyday life and what you care about most, what your priorities are. But my goal at the end of the day, as a person who works partially on social media, my goal at the end of the day is to feel like I connected with my people. I want to connect with the people in my actual everyday life, like the ones that are physically in front of me, to feel like I did good work. So the good work part of that is on social media. That's like purposeful work when I say good work. And to feel like I actually lived and enjoyed my day. If I'm on my phone scrolling all day, this will not happen. So I have had to decide, okay, how do I live a present day? It's to feel like I connected with my people. It's to feel like I did good work. And I really should add in there to feel like I took care of myself. That's something I really just started doing more. And actually just live and enjoy my day. Again, does not happen when I'm scrolling my phone all day, which can happen some days still. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. But when I am scrolling on my phone a lot, I do not feel those ways. So I do not live a present day when I'm on my phone a lot. I'm taking a break to thank one of our sponsors, Everly Well. A few weeks ago, I discovered Everly Well, the amazing at-home wellness test that helps you better understand your health. I used the Everly Well thyroid test, and I reviewed my results, which helped me understand that my thyroid health is actually in a pretty good place right now. Obviously, I was happy about this, and Everly Well has really given me a more positive outlook on taking control of my health and has also helped me pursue further information. I followed up with their free health consultation since the last time I talked to you about this. I got helpful advice that I could put to use in my daily life right away. I want to tell you more about Everly Well. They offer more than 30 different at-home lab tests, from fertility to food sensitivity to thyroid and more. Each test comes with easy-to-follow instructions, every test is physician-reviewed, and the shipping is free. Your results come from certified labs. They're directly sent to your phone. Your results are personalized, easy to understand, and you'll know exactly what they mean for you. Through my experience with Everly Well, I have made some dietary changes, and this has helped my symptoms, and I also plan to take my results to my doctor. I just love that Everly Well answered some important questions that I had. To start understanding your health better through an at-home test like I did, check out Everly Well. The good news is you can get 15% off an Everly Well at-home lab test. Visit everlywell.com/minimal and enter code minimal. That's everlywell.com/minimal, code minimal, for 15% off your test. All right, friend, let's get back to today's episode. So I have some tips for you that have helped me make that happen and that I think could help you get to the point where you're feeling like, okay, this is my ideal present day. This is how social media fits in it. How do I get from where I am now, which might be very much not that way, to actually feeling present and fulfilled with my everyday life, with social media and its rightful place in my life? My first tip is to have either set times for being on your phone or set times for being off your phone. They are a different thing. When I have set times to be on my phone, when I say, okay, I'm only gonna be on my phone during my daughter's nap, which I've tried that before, and after she goes to bed, that doesn't work. It's not realistic for me, being that some of my work is on social media. It's not realistic for me, being that sometimes I have important emails I need to get to. It's not realistic for me, being that my phone is around me because I have family nearby and they might be contacting me to arrange something. So I feel better when I have set times to stay off of my phone. So for me, first thing in the morning when Gemma wakes up, I try to leave my phone in a different room so that I can do a morning routine with her where we read books and just we're together. After an hour or two-ish, then I usually go and grab my phone. At that point, I may put out a pre-drafted Instagram post and I might put on music or a podcast while I tidy up the kitchen and she plays. But other than that, I do try to stay off of my phone while I am in that morning time with her. If she's playing individually, I'll check things every once in a while, but I try to stay off of it. If we're playing outside together, if we're taking walks together, other than maybe a podcast, I try to stay off of it. If we go to the library together, if we go and visit family together, that's a big one. I've been trying to stay off of it more when I'm with family and other people. So those are just some examples. I'm not gonna give you my entire day because I don't want you to think that yours has to look like mine. I want you to define it for yourself. But a set time off of my phone or multiple set times off of my phone help me to be more present and to have set times in my day where I'm saying, I am going to be present in this moment and my phone is not going to distract me from that, so much so that I'm just going to leave it somewhere where I can't even think about it or reach it. So there's also an app, this is kind of the next tip that you can use during off times, that is on the iPhone. Again, sorry Android users, I do not know as much about your phones as I would like to be able to help you right now, but I just don't. But there is a feature called downtime, and you can use this to set your phone so that it kind of blocks you from getting into your apps at that time. Like if you would adhere to the rule of your phone blocking you out, I do not adhere to rules very well. So a rule of my phone telling me I can't go into it, I'm like, I don't care. But if I tell myself, hey, you're gonna leave your phone in the other room because you need to be present and you don't need your phone right now, then I'll adhere to that. So this might work for you, that screen time downtime thing. Did not work for me. Another option is to remove notifications. That helps so that your phone is not constantly buzzing at you and you're not constantly wanting to look at it. It helps remove temptations. That's something else you can do in the settings area. Another thing is to keep your phone in a different room. I kind of said this a million times already. That has helped me. Most of all, I just keep it in a different room. Sometimes I don't bring it with me on walks or to visit family. That helps. To take extended time off can really help recalibrate and refresh the way that you view social media. And if you want to do that, just delete the apps completely. That has been the best way for me. It's not even a temptation if it's not there. Another tip, don't try to keep up. So not everyone is affected by this in the same way, but for social media, at least for me, and I've heard this from others as well, it has this quality of making you feel like you need to keep up. Whether you create content or you just feel like you need to keep up with seeing others' posts and you feel like you don't want to miss anything, there's this quality that feels like you need to keep up. And I have just told myself I've got to let go of keeping up. If I was going to try to keep up online, I'm going to have to let go of things in my real everyday life that I would miss a whole lot more than if I just don't keep up on social media. So stop trying to keep up. My next tip is to just start somewhere. So all of the things I just said, you know, these things can be hard to do, but give yourself just a little bit of time off of your phone today. Keep it in a different room or put on some downtime with that feature on your phone, or just leave it home when you go somewhere. It might feel hard at first. It's weird that it feels hard, but it can. So it might feel hard, and in that case, that's okay. Push through the hard. Hard feelings are good feelings too sometimes. It's okay to experience negative emotion. Push through. It's going to get easier as time goes on. Just like most things in life, it gets easier. Of course, there are a lot of gray areas, but it's just something to think through. This whole social media, technology usage, smartphone usage, screen time, whatever. It's all something to think through because I really don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think social media is going anywhere. So it's something we do have to take some time and evaluate. How is this playing a role in my life right now? Does it feel good? Does it feel like it needs some more balance or we need to figure out a more rightful place for it? Why not? And go from there. And I just hope that these tips that I shared this episode will help you do that. One last thing I want you to consider on this topic, how many voices are you letting in? Is there a lot of noise because maybe you're following like 1,000 people and you don't even really get to see the posts of the people that influence you most or the people that you actually want to be following because you're following too many and your feed is just crazy, all kinds of voices. First of all, a quick tip that you can do to fix this just briefly is to go to, if you have some people in mind and you're like, these people really inspire me, but I haven't seen their posts, or I really want to see my cousin's posts, but I never see them. Go to those people's accounts and, you know, engage a bunch with their content, like, comment on their stuff. But what that will do is it will allow you to be seeing that content in your feed. And this is because Instagram has an algorithm and they do this to make sure that you're seeing what you actually care about. But if you never engage with the things that you care about, because I am guilty, sometimes I see something and I really like it and I forget to actually like it. So if that's you, go do that to whatever accounts you actually enjoy following or whatever friends you feel like you never see their stuff. And that will maybe help. But I think what will help even more is to just go for a big decluttering of the people that you're following on social media. Whose content do you actually want to see? Whose did you follow because of a giveaway 6 months ago? It can be quite the task if you've followed a lot of people and never done much unfollowing, but it's worth it. It's worth it to curate a feed that is positive. And this is really speaking of Instagram, but any social media that you're on, you don't have to just keep following someone just because you hit the follow button. Like, it's not a big deal if you unfollow. It's not personal. It's just not what's lifting you up right now. And if you are looking at Instagram or whatever other social media often, then you want to be able to curate a feed that's positive, maybe educational, entertaining, whatever you want it to be. All right, friend, I hope that you found this helpful today. I know for me, reevaluating my social media usage has honestly come through minimalism and slowing down. I don't know if it's something I would be questioning as much if I hadn't been on this journey of less and wanting to be focused on the things that matter most. And this has all come from minimalism. I mean, I think before minimalism, I could have said, yeah, I want to focus on my priorities, but I had no idea how to get there. And through letting go of stuff and then letting this idea of getting rid of what doesn't matter so that I can focus on what does matter, letting that filtrate into my days and my time and my mindset, That has been what really prompted this from the start. It's funny how minimalism really starts with being about having less stuff, but it does trickle down, and it helps us reevaluate everything we're spending our time on. If you're new to minimalism, with all that said, if you want help applying it to your stuff and decluttering, but also your time and your mindset, check out my free guide. It's called Making Room. I wrote it to help you really jump in and get started. And it includes a bunch of quick decluttering challenges and just a lot of actionable tips that I think will really help you dive in to what living minimalish would look like for you personally. So grab that. You can grab that at DesireeEndries.com/make room. DesireeEndries.com/make room. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you do, share it with a friend. I would be so grateful for that. And I hope it helps you really.
Hi there. I'm Rachel, and I'm the host of 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms, a podcast for women who want to love motherhood as much as they love their children. In each 30-minute episode, my guests and I give 3 actionable takeaways that will help you make your family life a little better each week. I'd love for you to give us a listen. Listen to 3 in 30 Takeaways for Moms on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.